Kumlan Rablak Gemara, we are up to Daf Mem Zayin Amar Aleph. We're in the midst of an argument between Rabba and Rabbi Chizda regarding the principle of Hoyo. According to Rabba, on Shabbos afternoon, even though you already ate your meal, you're permitted to cook. And in fact, if you cook for the weekday, technically Mahatera, you don't get lashes, because we have a concept called Hoyo, and that is that since guests will arrive, it'd be suitable for them, and you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov for guests. And what's only the Rabbanon, that we don't want you to cook from Yom Tov to even to Shabbos, because then the next time you cook for Yom Tov the weekday, and you are going to not enjoy Yom Tov. Rabbi Chizda says that you might tell you not to cook from Shabbos to the weekday, and from Yom Tov to the weekday, but Tzorchei Shabbos Nasim Yom Tov, the needs of Shabbos can be done on Yom Tov, because they're really considered, both considered Shabbos, or that's one long day, and the Rabbanon, we don't want you, because next time you'll cook to the weekday, and that's why you want to cook on Yom Tov, because of an Erev Tav Shilud for Shabbos. Now, we brought a question and we gave an answer. Now we're going to continue with these questions. We're up to Mosiv Rab Mori, right in the middle of the page, the last of the line of Shtei. Mosiv Rab Mori, what's the question? On Shavuos, we bring a carbon called a Shtei Halechem, two loaves of bread. These two loaves of bread have to be prepared, baked beforehand, and then you bring a carbon. You bring the kvasim, you bring the sheep, you shecht it, you sprinkle the blood, then you eat these two loaves of bread. And these two loaves of bread, they are the ones that are going to permit you to eat, well, for the Mizbech at least, to bring from the new wheat, from the new crop. Now, so what's the issue with that? So when do you actually bake this bread? Shtei halechem, these two loaves of bread, ein necholos, whenever they're eaten in the minimal epoch of shnayim, at least 2 days old, v'lo yoyser al shloisha, but never more than 3 days old. We just started the Gemara, we're asking a question now, we're going to ask a question on Rabbi Chizda. So the two loaves of bread that we bring on the Mizbech, that we eat on, on Shavuos, that is in the base of Midrash, they bring up the two loaves of bread, is brought after the two kvasim. And it's never baked on Yom Tov proper, it's either baked Erev Yom Tov, but if Yom Tov falls out right after Shabbos on Sunday, it's baked Erev Shabbos, so it's on the third day. Ketzad. So what do we mean, for example? Nefes Erev Yom Tov is baked Erev Yom Tov, and so therefore Nechaz Yom Tov gets eaten on Yom Tov, it's the second day. And L'Shnayim, that's only 2 days. What about Chol Yom Tov L'Shabbos, Yom Tov falls on a Sunday? Then Nechelis L'Yom Tov L'Shleisha. Then you bake it up from Friday, so Sunday will be the third day. Now, why? L'Fishen Deichel is a Shabbos Yom Tov, because the two loaves of bread does not push away Shabbos or Yom Tov. Now, our question is very simple. You, Rav Chizda, say that you're allowed to, on Yom Tov, Mahatera, cook for Shabbos because of one long day, so surely you're allowed to bake on Yom Tov for the sake of Yom Tov itself. So why can't you bake these two loaves of bread on Yom Tov? What do you have to be Erev Yom Tov for? The Yamr is going to tell me, now Tzorchei Shabbos Nasim B'Yom Tov, you can tell me you can do the things of Shabbos on Yom Tov, Hashtok, the Shabbos B'Yom Tov, the Shodi, matter of things that you need for Shabbos, not even for today, for Yom Tov, but for Shabbos. You're allowed to do Yom Tov, be Yom Tov, but things that you need later today, you can't do right now. Why can't you do it right now? Now, it's not, you cannot use it, you need the rule of Hoyle here, because it's not suitable straight away, and because you have to first shech the carbon and sprinkle the blood before you can eat it two loaves of bread. Fine, so it's not suitable right now. But neither are things that you plan to use for Shabbos not suitable right now, and yet we're allowed to Tzorchei Shabbos Nasim and Yom Tov. So surely things in Yom Tov should be able to be done, but things laid away. So we answer, Shiny Hussa, there is very different. There is very different. Why? On Makro, it says in the Pasuk, the Lochem. It says in the Pasuk that on Yom Tov you're allowed to prepare and cook food for yourself. What do you mean for yourself? Lochem Lelgvoy. The problem here is that when you're making these two loaves of bread, who's it for? It's for the Eibishter. It's a Kavar Shtei Lechem. And therefore, you cannot do that on Yom Tov. The permission, Torah Kuli, does not allow you to do something which is for, in this case here, that's why it's forbidden. Yeah. actually, Tosfos asks an interesting question according to Rashi, where Dushi just learned Pshat. You tell me because it's not suitable to eat straight away right now, the Gemara thinks you need to use the rule of Hoyo. So according to Rabbi Chizda, how are you allowed to ever cook anything? It's raw right now, you cannot eat it. and it's only edible an hour whenever it's fully cooked or fully baked. And so therefore, how can you, what was Gemara thinking? So how, according to Rabbi Chizda, you know, how can you go ahead and eat anything or prepare anything on Yom Tov? It's not ready right now if you don't believe in Hoyle. However, Rashi, unfortunately, explained, because Rashi is not a problem, because that is the normal way of cooking. So the Torah allowed you to do prepare food. Obviously, the Torah meant you allowed to do those things. Here, it's something external. Here, the bread is ready. The problem is that you have to shecht the two sheep in order to eat the bread. So therefore, the bread right now is not raw in an abnormal way. It's or external to the bread itself, to the preparation of the bread itself. And therefore, we need the rule of Hoyle. And if Rabbi Chizda doesn't believe in Hoyle, how could you go ahead? And anyway, and that's why, because we know that's why we cannot bake on Yom Tov proper. It says more further. He holds you a lot of bacon on Yom Tov. What does he do with the word lechem? You said lechem means to you, not things that matter for the Eibishter. So how come he holds that you're allowed to actually bake these two breads on Yom Tov itself? Said the Gemara, use lechem for another thing. So lechem lenochim. You're not allowed to prepare any food for a goy. Which the outcome of that is an interesting halacha. You're allowed to invite goyim to your house for a Shabbos meal, but you're not permitted to invite goyim to your house for the Pesach Seder or any, which I always get asked about, or any Yom Tov meal, because we're scared you're going to make more food for a goy. And it says clearly in the Torah, lechem v'lo lenochim. It's not an issur de rabbanon, it's an issur de Torah. You're not allowed to cook anything extra for a goy, and therefore even so we're scared that you might, and even though you're not cooking anything and you prepare everything before Yom Tov, the Rabbanon say you're not allowed to. Says about it further, Sholach, now it's okay, till now we were asking questions on Rav Chizda's view, who doesn't believe in Hoyle. Now we're going to ask questions on Rabbah, who does believe in Hoyle. We have some issues. What are the issues that we have with Rabbah? Says the Gemara, Shalach Chizda Rabba, Rav Chizda sent a message to Rabba, b'yad Rab Acha bar Rav Huna, in the hands of Rab Acha, the son of Rav Huna, and goes, mi amrinan, you believe in Hoyle? Let me ask you a question. But now we learn, yes, it is possible, chodesh, a person can plow, tell him, echad, it is possible that a person can plow a single row, and chayovin alav meshum shmein alavin, and you can commit 8 avedas with this one act. And now we'll collect, what are all these avedas? The Mishnah tells us. What are all these avedas? First of all, hachoidesh, you plow, you plow with an ox and a donkey, that's really an avera of klein. You're not allowed to use klein. Behem bugdoshim, and if, let's say, that they're holy, now, if you're holy, the shoy could have been holy for a carbon, if it has no flaws, and the chamoy, you can never bring a chamoy to a carbon, so chamoy is better kabai, is maintenance based on migdash. If you now use the shoy for your own purpose, so you just use hegdash for your own purpose, and you're not allowed to work, let's say with a kachem mizbech, we treat everything like a pchor. You're not allowed to use a carbon that's meant to be on the mizbech for your own purpose. And the chamor at Berak Abayis, that's meilu. You're stealing from the base of Migdash. So you have two averes here. And then number three, number four. What exactly you're plowing? Beklaim, bekerem. You're plowing that you are planting seeds of, let's say, grains next to grapes. So that's a fourth aver already. It happened to be the year of Shviyas, it happened to be the year of Shemitah, so that's the fifth Veda Kinala to plant on Shemitah. And plowing is like planting. We're talking about you're plowing in order to cover the seeds that you already planted, so that's supporting the planting. And it happened to be Yom Tov. It happens to be Yom Tov. That's another Veda, six. And if you were a Kohen and a Nazir, and the Beis HaTumah, all this took place inside the cemetery. A Kohen not walk into the cemetery, nor can a Nazir. So that's a total of 8 Averis. Now, why don't we mention also Yom Tov fall on Shabbos at another day? Because Shabbos, you get killed for doing this. And we have a rule by Shabbos that any lav, that is, that the punishment is death, we don't give you Malkus. So therefore, we're talking about 8 Averis that you get lashes for. Says the Gemara, the E, so Rav Chizda asked the question, Rabbi, the E, I mean, Hoyle, if you actually believe in the rule of Hoyle, then Acharish Eloi Chayiv, you shouldn't be Chayiv for plowing. You're telling me you're Chayiv on Yom Tov for plowing. You shouldn't be. If you believe in Hoyle, which means if you can find a permissive way of doing it, then even though you did not do it in a permissive way, no guests are coming to your house, but and you're cooking for Shabbos. But you're telling me that since it could be that what you're doing right now is all right, for example, if guests would arrive, or you're doing it for guests, so therefore we use the rule of hoyel, since, and therefore it's permitted what you're doing right now. So l'chayda, plowing also, sometimes you're allowed to plow acharisha le'mechayiv, hoyel, since, v'chozi l'kisi dam tzipur, if on Yom Tov you go ahead and you shecht either a chaya or a bird, you have a mitzvah kisei adam, so then you're allowed to do charisha for mitzvah kisei adam. If you're allowed to do the mitzvah charisha for the mitzvah of kisei adam, then even now, right now, you're not doing it for that purpose. You're doing it in order to, you know, you're sowing and you're covering the seeds. It should still be permitted. Now, why are you allowed to plow for the mitzvah of kisei adam? Let's say in the Gemara Shabbos of Chavei, we had a whole discussion about burning kachim. Rav Ashi says Yom Tov has a mitzvah asei and a loisaseh. So there's no way that the mitzvah asei of covering the blood should push away the aveira of Yom Tov of plowing, because Yom Tov itself is made up of a positive mitzvah, you should rest, and a negative mitzvah, don't do malach. And one positive mitzvah cannot push away those two combined. However, that most other Amoraim don't believe that there's an Aseh and a Loisaseh. They believe it's only a Loisaseh and Yom Tov. So the Mitzvah Aseh of plowing does push away the Iser of the Mitzvah Aseh of Kisei Adam pushes away the Iser of plowing, and therefore you'll be able to plow for the Mitzvah Kisei Adam. So since you can do it for Kisei Adam, let's use the rule of Hoyel. Let's use the rule of Hoyel. says more further. Papa Shmuel answers. We're talking about little stones that cannot be used to cover the blood. So there's no hoyle there. Because there's no hoyle there, therefore it's a bit tougher, these stones. They cannot be, remember, we're planning to plant in this area here. So it's stones, on the one hand, you could plant. On the other hand, even though you could plant in these stones, but you cannot use them for kisei adam because they're not really like sand. So they're soft, but not good enough yet to cover the sand blood unless you physically go ahead and you grind them down. Because those mean like sharp stones. Ruiz lekoich, says the Gemara. Since they could be, why can't they be crushed? Why don't we go further, say hoyel? Since these little pointed stones can be crushed, so you can still use it for kisei adam. So therefore, it should be permitted also, not permitted matar, at least you shouldn't get lashes for covering it with the seeds. It says Gemara, Ketisha be Yom Tov Mishari, what are you talking about? You're allowed to grind on Yom Tov, it's an avera of grinding on Yom Tov. And since it's an avera of grinding on Yom Tov, there's no hoil over there. Says the Gemara, obvious question that all the Rishonim grapple with here is, you just said that on Yom Tov you're allowed to plow, which is an Issa, and even for the mitzvah Kisei Adam, so why can't you crush the rock as well for the mitzvah of Kisei Adam? What's the difference? So explaining that the plowing is a melacha she'en etzich leguf, it's a much weaker melacha, and that's why we're allowed to do that on Yom Tov. That's where the hoil comes in, because you're not plowing because you want to you want the hole, you're plowing because you want the sand to cover the blood. And that's only in Midrabanan. Says Gemara further, but crushing is definitely awesome at Tayden. There's no way you can do that on Yom Tov to cover blood. Says Gemara, why not? There is a way. How? If you did it not the normal way, by making a shinui, if you make a shinui, if you don't do it the normal way, Ma'atayr is not us, it's only Midrabanan. So since you could have crushed it, my question goes back to the Chizah. There's a hoyel over here, so why you'll get lashes for plowing to cover the seeds? Let's use the rule of hoyel if you believe in that. Says the Gemara, you know why there's no hoyel over here? Because you couldn't use it to cover the blood. We're talking about over here, Betzunma. We're talking about over here is that the ground is very rocky. And because the ground is very rocky, you cannot use this area for, or these rocks over here to cover your blood. No, so how you plant it? Anymore, tzumba bazir, how can you plant it? So we answer, tzumba milmaila v'ofa tetuchamatim. The topsoil is basically rocky, but right underneath that is full of sand. So you can plant right underneath that. But then you're plowing the top part, and you can plant right underneath that, but the part that you plowed, you cannot use it to cover the blood, so there's no hoyel there. It says, Gemara, the tape of Glei Mushim offered to Tua, but the fact that you expose now the sand, and the sand can be used You can use the sand for covering the blood as well. So again, we have Hoyom, says the Gemara. You know what we're talking about over here, like cement or very thick mud, says the Gemara, and therefore cannot be used for blood, to cover the blood. Says the Gemara, so how can you plant in the same time? So we answer, we're talking about a ground here that's matunta. We're talking about that it's very wet. Because it's wet and very moist, therefore you could plant over there, but on the other hand, you cannot really use it to because they all stick to each other, and you cannot even crush it because they all stick to each other, and they just it's a very difficult. Okay, so therefore we deal with the answer why there's no hoil over there. What's the hoil? To cover the blood. We're talking about a kind of soil that you cannot use to cover the blood, but you could use to plant there. So we'll ask another question. Abaye asked another question on his teacher Abba. You believe in hoyol. Let me ask you how you learn the pshat in the following. It says, if somebody cooked the gid hanosh, excuse me. If somebody cooked the gid hanosh, now we had an argument of chabez, if gid hanosh is considered food or is just a piece of wood and not considered food. So here we're talking according to an opinion that says the gid hanosh is considered food, the sciatic nerve, and the hindquarters there. So mavashel gid hanosh, if you cooked a gid hanosh b'cholov, so it's gid hanosh is considered food, that's meat, and you cooked it in milk, which of course you're not allowed to. So you already have a problem of cooking meat and milk. And it was in Yom Tov, and Yom Tov, you only allowed the things which you can use, and since this is basar b'cholov, meat and milk, you cannot use it. And then v'oichli, you actually ate it as well. So you cooked, you did one of it, you ate gid hanosh, and on Yom Tov, Chomesh Leika, you get five Averis. How do you get five Averis? Five punishments. Five lashes. Leika Chomesh. Leika, first of all, you get Mishum Avashigid Begid, the Yom Tov. First of all, you cooked a gid on Yom Tov, something that is not going to be useful to anybody, because it's Basu B'chalav. Nobody can eat it. And it's Gid Anasha. And also like mishum eichel gid, you're eating a gid. But like mishum avashel b'chol, also you're liable for cooking on cooking meat and milk. And but like mishum eichel b'chol, when you're liable for eating meat and milk. And what's the fifth one? But like mishum havara, for lighting a fire. You're allowed to light a fire in Yom Tov. There's some benefit from it, but here there's no benefit whatsoever. You're only lit a fire to cook something which you cannot eat. So therefore, it's a fifth malacha. Now, my question, says Abaye to you, Rabbi, is you believe in the concept of hoyil? If I can find somehow or another what I just did right now in a permitted way, even though I'm not doing it a permitted way, I shouldn't get lashes, Mahatera. So let me ask a question, if you believe in hoyil, avodah lechayiv, you shouldn't get lashes for starting a fire, why not? Hoyil, since the chazal letzorcha, since you could use a fire for a permitted use, okay, everything else is, that's it, gid hanosh and all that, and bas b'chol, there's no permitted use. But hoyil, the fifth one, which is lighting a fire, I could have used the fire to cook normal food. So even though I didn't, I shouldn't get lashes. Omelas, the rabbi answered Abaye, you're right. Apig havara, take out havara, it's a mistake, of ayil, and place in there, gid hanosh shon nevela, nothing to do with the fire, to do with another avera for eating. You ate the gid hanosh, happened to be from a dead animal, from a carcass, so you also ate treif, you know, nevela. Therefore, you get punished. Says Abaye, can't be. You cannot. If you want to change pshat mishnah, is one thing, but you're not making up your own. You're saying maybe there's a mistake. But no, we have a comment from Rab Chiya, who was a student of Rebbe, colleague of Rebbe, who learned and was there at the time when they said the mishnah, and he made the following comment. So clearly, you can see there's no mistake. But Tony Rab Chiya, loikin shteim al chilos, there are two things that you're getting punished for eating, right? You ate gid hanosh and you ate basar b'cholov. And v'sholosh al b'shus, and three, the other three lashes you're getting is for the cooking of it. You cooked on Yom Tov when it was not necessary, you cooked basar b'cholov, and you started a fire. And
is
so...
Is hoil something you only say for, like, something you can do lechat chila? Or even, like, bedievit?
Even if it's b'di'evid, but it had to be in a permitted way. And b'di'evid, you know that in the Torah, Mahatera, there's no such thing as the chatchilim b'di'evid, Mahatera. Chatchilim b'di'evid is only midurabonans, as Tosfos says in Pesachim Daf Yud Aleph. And the only time we have the chatchilim b'di'evid, Mahatera, is in Kachim. We will learn, that the concept, Shona Olav HaKosov La'akiv, the Torah has to repeat an Avera by Kachim twice, because otherwise it'd be only l'chatchila asr and not b'di'evit. But in everything else in the Torah, there's no such thing as l'chatchila b'di'evit. Either it's mutter or it's asr. There's nothing in between.
So would you say Hoyle, if I can cook basar b'chol for pikuach nefesh?
No, we already said yesterday, Taisus asked that question, how can there be any avera on Shabbos? And the last line in that Mem Vav Beis Taisus asks, how can there ever be an avera on Shabbos? And the same thing applies to any avera. Let's say Hoyle is roe for a person who's dying, so therefore, I can do it right now. And Taisus answered, it's lo shkiach. Hoyle can only work on something that's common. Not to say like a person who's dying or something like that, which is uncommon. Or sakonas nefashis. So Rav Chiya clearly said that these three lashes are to do with cooking, and you took out havara and you add another one of eating. Rav Chiya said there's only two for eating, not three for eating. So you can't say we're talking about a gid anosha of an avela. It's actually talking about lighting a fire. And if you believe in oil, why should you get lashes for it? Says the Gemara. Ella, so Rabbi said, you're right. Apik havara, cancel havara, but put in something else. But ayil and place in there, atse mukta. Put in there wood of mukta. Put in there the wood of mukta, that you use mukta wood on Yom Tov, and since you have no, mukta means removed from your mind, you have no intention of using it, and therefore you get lashes for that. So Abai jumps right away. Mukta deraisu, the whole idea of mukta is midrabbanan. To add another layer to keep you away from, you know, carrying on Shabbos or doing a malacha with this instrument. The Ramban gives three reasons, and the Rabbi gives his reason, the four reasons for mukta. What do you call it? So there's no isa deraisa for mukta. So how can you tell me you're going to get lashes because you use wood of mukta? Amalas, the Rabbi says, no. Yes, there are certain types of mukta from the Torah, and I'll prove it to you. The Chassid, it says, Hoyabayamashishi should be on the sixth day, Vehechinu, you should prepare. You should prepare everything on Friday, what you need for Shabbos. In other words, you have to have it in mind. Otherwise, it is muktzah. So it's clear from here. If it's not prepared, it is muktzah from your mind. You're not using it on Shabbos. So we see that preparing something is like a malacha, and there is muktzah matayra. And every time you get lashes, that a punishment, there has to be somewhere the Torah has to warn you not to do this. Where do you find that? Because the Torah makes a big deal out of preparing, and therefore the Torah calls preparing or having in mind hachana. It's like doing a form of work, and therefore it's included in the Isra lesasa kamalacha. You now do malachas on Shabbos. Now work with something that you didn't have in mind at all. So the Gemara. You're telling me mukta is mahatayra. In other words, there's different kinds of mukta. In the beginning of Sechta Bey, they were talking about an egg that was born, that could be mahatayra because it's like brand new, it wasn't here before. But here, that something was before, just because I didn't have it in mind, the wood was there, I just didn't have it in mind. Where do you find that mahatayra? That's mukta. You yourself told me that boyim in Rav Chizda, that you asked a question from Rav Chizda. The Amla, others say boyim in Rav Huna. You asked from Rav Huna. What about Havi Sam Eifer? Let's say you brought a sheep from out in the cold on Yom Tov. You brought a sheep that, you know, was not on your farm, but was out somewhere wandering outside. And then you brought it in. And the question is, so Hefi say you brought a sem afar. You brought a sem from outside somewhere, and v'shachta, you shouldn't have shachta, but you did shachta as a korban tummy be yomtiv. Can you bring it? I'm a beir chanat. Ma, what's it in? V'at omrit lan, and you told us that the only reason why, even though it's muktzal chadi, because you had no idea an animal was wandering about or somewhere out in the wild, and you brought it in, and yet you told us the only reason why there's a problem is because of a pasuk. Amma, you told us Allah. You told us there's a pasuk that says. In Yecheskel, that it says in the pasuk, you should bring one lamb from your sheep. Then it says min hamasayim from the 200, min mashke Yisrael from the drink of the yidden. What in the world is the pasuk saying here? You bring it as a mincha and oil and shlamim to forgive you. What is the pasuk saying? So we dash it. Se a sheep v'loi hapchoir and not a pchoir. It says one sheep. A sheep sounds like it doesn't matter what the gender is, male or female, but a b'chor can only be male. So therefore, don't bring me an animal that's a b'chor to be a carbon tamid. So it's a b'chor. It says, achas, one, what do you mean one? V'loy me'eser, not from 10. So in ma'isim and atzoyin, when you give ma'isim from sheep, it's 1 out of 10. I don't want an animal that was taken 1 out of 10. I want an individual animal. In other words, you cannot use ma'isim behemoth to bring it to carbon tamid. Then it says min hatzoin, not all the sheep, but some of the sheep. The loy mapalgus, not a sheep that's palgus, that's in between. There's a lamb and there's a sheep, and there's a when it grows old, becomes a ram. That's the first 12 months. The first 12 months has a din of a kevis, and it doesn't become a ram until 14 months. That 13th month is like palgus, right in between. It's no man's land. Or it's, you know, and therefore you cannot bring a korban that's exactly that age. Then it's the minimum sign for 200. What do you mean from 200? So now we're no longer talking about the sheep. We're talking about the libations that come with the animal, the wine. And we're saying here that this wine that you're bringing over here, let's say in a pit of wine, has to be at least, it has to be at least 200 heter against the Issa. Let's say, for example, it was Orlo, Klaya Kedem, there were grapes, with the first 3 years of growing in the vine, or Klaya Kedem that was mixed together with the grains. It fell into a pit. If there's 200 times good wine against that, then you could bring it from there. So he says, that's the number 200. Mikan, from here you learn out, Orlo, should be Tela b'Masai, that needs 200 times, not 60, but 200 times of Heter to annul it. Rashi says this is not really the basis for it, but this is another proof to it. Then it says, Mimashke Yisrael, from a drink that's permitted to a Yid, Minamutu Yisrael, has to be a drink that is permitted to a Yid to drink. Mikanomer, we learn out, Ein Mevin Asochim, you cannot use wine libations, Minatevel, from grapes that you didn't give it the Truma Maisad. So Yochla, I would have thought, Lo Yovi Minhamukse, I would have thought you shouldn't also bring it from Mukse, something you didn't have in mind at all before, you didn't have in mind at all. Amrit, so we learn out. So we learn now that's not the, but it comes to looks is not so. We say we're talking about this wine over here because it was, let's say it was part of the, it was one of these problems, so you didn't have in mind at all to use it, and then it fell into the pit of 200. So now suddenly it's mutter. Amr thought, Ma tevel miyuchid, no. Ma tevel, just like tevel. Miyuchid, what is so unique about tevel? The problem is inherent to itself. It itself is forbidden because it's tevel. The only thing you're not allowed to use for carbon tumid is it itself has its own problem. Mukta is different. Why is mukta different? The problem of mukta is not the thing itself, it's the time, because it's Shabbos, because it's Yom Tov, but the thing itself is all right. At least something else is what caused it, the fact that it's Shabbos. That's what it says here. So what's a by proof now? This whole pasuk is in Tanakh, it's not in the Torah. Now, my problem is, suddenly you're making a difference between Issa Gufoy and Issa Dover Acher. This is what in Chaim Brisker's lexicon is Issa Chefza, Issa Gavra. Now, the Yam, if you can tell me, Issa Gufoy means the object itself is no good, and Issa Dover Acher means that the object itself is good. The problem is that we don't want you on this particular time to enjoy this. Now, the Yam, it says, Abayi Terabba, if you can tell me that Issa Muksa Dover Acher, if Muksa is from the Torah, Mali Issa Gufi Mali Zavaracha. What's the difference if the reason why it's Osir is because it itself is not good, or it's Osir because of Shabbos? The fact that the Torah says Osir, so you shouldn't be able to use it for Karban Tamid. Why should one be permitted for Karban Tamid? It's Issa Gavra. So therefore what? But if it's the Rabbanan, it makes sense. There's a difference between whether it's an Issa on the Chayfetz or an Issa on the Gavra. But if it's an Issa on the Torah, what's the difference? And another question is. Yeah, another question is, another question Abai says to Rabbi, since you believe in Hoyo, we're asking a question, this fifth Avera, which you said take out lashes, and we put Mukta in its place, Mukta still doesn't make sense, because Mukta is not from the Torah, and I'm proving to you from this Bryce over here that Mukta is only the Rabbanon, and that's why we understand why there's a difference between, and even though the Poskins and Tanakh is also like the Rabbanon or Divrei Kabbalah, I can understand the difference whether the Issa is inherent or the Dover Acher. And my other question is, if Atud Amrit, you yourself told us that chiluk malachas l'shabbos. Only on Shabbos do we say you did three malachas, you get three different punishments. If you did it, you bring two kabbanas or whatever it is, or deliberately, you get twice. Or even if you did the same malacha twice and you forgot and you remembered and you forgot again, you get punished twice. But if you did two malachas on Yom Tov on purpose, you don't get twice lashes. And you're telling me, you took, you're saying it's that because of mukta. You're telling me we get two malachas not for Yom Tov. First of all, it's muktzah on Yom Tov, and the second is you cooked a ghee that you cannot benefit on Yom Tov. You're getting the lechayde. How can you get two punishments for the same thing? And this is not only a question of Rabbah. This is what we originally understood. Havara. It's also two punishments for Yom Tov. One for lighting a fire and one for cooking. But anyway, but now that you decided it's talking about muktzah, we'll ask you a question. El apik havara, take out havara. I will put a totally different aveda in there. You use wood of asherah, avoda zara wood, and that's the problem. That's the fifth aveda. There's no oil anymore. You use avoda zara. As hora mehocha, and the warning in the Torah is la yidbak beyodcha meuma menachedim. You shouldn't have any benefit from anything to do with chedim. You shouldn't attach yourself to anything to do with avoda zara. Omle rabacha beyodra labaya venilki nami. If you're following avoda zara, there should be another. Then it should be a sixth Aveda. What's a sixth Aveda? You shouldn't bring into your house an umverde kind of abomination. You shouldn't bring an Aveda into your house. So it should be another Aveda for having it, these wood in your house in the first place. Forget about the fact that you're lighting it, enjoying it. Take an Havara and put in the Atzei Hegdash. You use wood that belongs to the Beis Hamikdash. And that's your fifth Aveda. So there's no Hoyel. But as Horem Hoch, and Aveda is, it says in the Pasuk, and there are Avodah Zorah, the tree of Avodah Zorah, you should burn the fire. And then it says, don't do the same thing to Abishadov, don't use the wood of Hegdish either at home. Okay, we'll stop over here and we will continue tomorrow in Mitzvah Hashem.